Eric pointed to a pair of German shepherds who were straining on their leashes, heading toward the woods. Andrea thought of the news footage from 5 years ago. The packs of search dogs that had scoured the park for weeks, trying to find Roxanne's body. They hadn't been successful in following her blood trail or scent, though they had unearthed a pile of bones that gave the public a burst of excitement, until it was revealed they were coyote remains. One of the police turned in their direction, and Andrea immediately stepped back away from the window. Do you think they can see us here?
They aren't looking. This isn't about us. Don't we have binoculars somewhere?
His nose was almost touching the glass, which fogged from his breath. Andrea moved to the built-in cabinets underneath the bookshelves, opening the doors and uncovering board games, a few extra throw blankets, and there. She grabbed the binocular case and opened it up. The manual and tags were still on the expensive pair, and she peeled off the protective sticker from the lenses before handing it to Eric.
Maybe someone's lost, a kid or someone with dementia. There's that older couple down at the end of the lane. There was an ambulance in their driveway last week.
A lost individual was more likely than someone being on the run. It wasn't as if they lived near a prison or a bad area. Just to get in the neighborhood, someone had to go through two gates and a security checkpoint. There wasn't a house in this neighborhood worth less than $4 million, which was probably why there was this level of response. Wealthy areas rarely had to call the police, but when they did, law enforcement scrambled into action. So different from the area she'd grown up in. There, they had been taught, from the time they could talk, that a uniform was the one person you never ran to for help. If a cop asked questions, you pinned your lips shut, and the disdain had gone both ways. If anyone called the police for help, it might be an hour before one showed up, assuming they did it all. Her husband adjusted the scope on the binoculars, his shoulders hunched forward, stance stiff. Eric had attended Stanford, then med school at UCLA. He was a stickler for rules, had been his whole life. Prior to Roxanne, he had never had any interaction with law enforcement other than a pleasant exchange over a minor traffic infraction. His breakfast wouldn't get finished today, not with this far more interesting distraction. Look, Andrea tapped on the window at a golf cart that was approaching from the left. More cops.
I think those are the neighborhood security, but look over there.
He passed her the binoculars and pointed to the edge of the woods.
That's the police chief. He wouldn't be here unless it was something big.
Is this what it was like at the park? This many people?
Trevely Park. Blood all over the scene. His first wife? Gone.
No, Eric shook his head. At least not when I was there. I saw half a dozen officers, but maybe there were more in the woods. They didn't let me go there.
Andrea thought of the woods around the parking lot, the thick trees, the running path that went deep into the park. The lot had been at the north end of the Trevely Park Trail and rarely used at that time of day. Not a good place for a woman alone. The crime scene photos from Roxanne's attack were all over the internet, mostly on sites run by her family, who still hadn't given up the hunt. The photos detailed in high resolution the blood smears on the Audi's door handle and on the monogrammed leather steering wheel.
Too much blood. Overkill.
Andrea lowered the binoculars, suddenly nauseated at the thought.
You should go get changed for work. I'll watch and tell you if anything happens.
He gave one last look out the window and nodded.
Don't worry,
he repeated.
This isn't about us.